Welcome to The John Roa Show, a production of iHeartRadio and Roa Media Works. This is Leading From Home, a special limited series where I'll be checking in with leaders and entrepreneurs from around the country on how they're dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. It's Wednesday, April 1st, 19 days since the pandemic began. 5 days ago, President Trump signed a historic $2 trillion stimulus package. The bulk of the bill is focused on keeping large corporations in business and helping individual workers who are struggling financially. But about $350 billion of that will go towards helping small business, categorized as companies with under 500 employees, over the next number of months. There are a few important aspects for entrepreneurs to be aware of. While $350 billion sounds like a lot of money to be distributed across the country to small businesses, experts have estimated that the real amount may need to be as high as $1.5 trillion to keep small businesses going for even just a few months. So the current package may be, unfortunately, just a drop in the bucket. As for that $350 billion, it'll come in the form of a forgivable loan program through the Small Business Administration, or the SBA. By forgivable, that means the loans won't have to be paid back, but this obviously comes with a lot of stipulations. For example, the loan prevents employers from laying off any employees during that forgivable period. There's also limits on the loan size and the level of salaries the loan will cover. There's also numerous stories on social media about the SBA being completely overwhelmed with loan requests and their online systems crashing. So there's a lot to be determined about how all this is going to work and shake out. There are a series of other very helpful provisions throughout the stimulus package, including looser net operating loss reduction rules to offset taxes, a delay in employer-side payroll tax payments for Social Security, and a really important one, which allows independent contractors and gig workers to benefit like full-time employees would. The government's assistance over the coming weeks and months will be a critical lifeline for many small businesses, but it's even more critical for those leaders and entrepreneurs to consult experts before depending on the loans or making any key business decisions based on a stimulus package, to avoid getting caught in a really bad situation because of stipulations that weren't met or the fine print. After the break, I'll be speaking with Stephen Galanis, the co-founder and CEO of Cameo, the world's leading marketplace where fans can book personalized video shoutouts from their favorite people. Stephen quit his job at LinkedIn to start Cameo in 2016 after seeing a personalized video message recorded by an NFL player congratulating a friend on the birth of his son. Now, he's running one of the fastest growing tech companies in America, throwing off tens and tens of millions in revenue and taking in big money from prestigious venture capital firms all over the country. But Stephen also used to go to a big office in Chicago and take hundreds of flights a year to run his company, which he's now doing from a couch in Palm Beach. After the break, we'll hear how he's leading through the crisis, if there'll be any long-term changes to his business because of the pandemic, and what Cameo is doing to help those in need.
Support for this podcast comes from Facebook. Reaching customers for your small business is more challenging than ever. Facebook Tools helps businesses keep going, even when the world shuts down. Businesses like Stasha Harris's Brooklyn hair studio, Magic Fingers. When she couldn't meet clients in person, she gave braiding tutorials over Instagram Live. And Manuel Bucio, owner of the dessert shop Raspachos, solved the challenges of in-person ordering with the Shop Now button. And he got repeat business from customers with the help of Facebook ads. Chantel Chance, owner of the jewelry shop Kismet & Company, answers customer questions with Messenger and sells across the globe with the Shop Now button. See how your business can connect with the customers you're looking for with Facebook tools. Learn more at facebook.com/smallbusiness.
So what's been going on, man? I know that you guys have had a lot of kind of craziness with some really seemingly good news that you guys are thriving through this. You announced CameoCon, et cetera, et cetera. But there's also, you know, an insane new time in the world to be leading a big company. So what's been going on with you?
I think in times like this, the most important thing is to try to give a sense of normalcy to the team. So we've been really focusing on over-communicating and doing things that we do in real life, but just by doing them over Zoom. So last week we hosted a couple Jeffersonian style dinners for the team, which were a lot of fun.
So what does that mean?
You know, they're single threaded conversations. where you get one exec plus 8 employees. And basically you're answering questions like, how would you change the way that you were raised? You know, if you could go back and do it all over again. And then every single person asks a question and then answers, everybody answers that question. And then the next one goes, and it's just a great way to get people to know each other better outside of work. Yesterday we hosted a fireside chat with one of our board members. Hmm. You know, so we've been trying to, you know, have the sense of normalcy as much as possible, but you know, it's certainly a challenge, you know, coming on, you know, week 3.5 for us being fully distributed.
Well, yeah, because you guys are in a unique position that's kind of backwards to most companies these days, insofar as that your business is totally digital. You're doing your work on apps and websites, except your office and your people are all in person. You have this huge, beautiful, badass office in Chicago. You normally do everything there, seeing the people you're working with. So you've totally had to flip that. And has that caused disruption? Have you seen people that are losing the ability to do their jobs, losing morale, kind of losing that connectivity with the team and the company?
I mean, frankly, we've been very positively surprised at how well the team has adjusted to going fully remote. I think one thing that helps us is that me and my co-founders were distributed from the beginning. So there's always been that DNA in the company with Devin and Martin being in LA and, you know, me being in Chicago. Most of our team works day to day with other team members that are in one of our other offices, be it Chicago, LA, London, Australia, Argentina. So I think there's a lot of good DNA, as I mentioned, for people to work distributed, but you know, it's still a challenge, and you know, especially for a couple of our people who are balancing kids being out of school and, you know, both parents working, a lot of kids in Zoom these days, but it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Any Zoom disasters?
Yeah, there's been a couple like pretty funny ones. Like you'll see like my CMO, he'll be on our executive chat in the morning, which we do 8 a.m. every day Pacific time. And, you know, his husband will be coming out of the shower in his boxers or in a towel or something like that in the background. So it's always interesting to see what you never know what you're going to see on Zoom. But it's been pretty fun.
Yeah, there's been so much funny content you're seeing across social with just like these epic corporate Zoom failures. And so I feel like that's going to become some kind of like trending video when this is all said and done.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, tell me about how you're handling this from a corporate standpoint, leadership standpoint, because you're obviously, you know, one of the fastest growing companies in the country. You absolutely blew up. I mean, from what I understand, 3 years ago, Cameo was like a dream. 2 years ago, it kind of got momentum. And now you're doing tens of millions of dollars in revenue. You've raised money from the big boys, from Bain and from Kleiner Perkins. And so that's a huge responsibility for you and your co-founder. How are you managing that? How are you doing that from your couch in Palm Beach? And how are you keeping your head on straight kind of through this chaos with all the uncertainty, et cetera?
I mean, look, I think at the end of the day, almost every CEO in the country is running some variety of the following playbook. You know, one, shore up your balance sheet, you know, if you need to. Two, tighten the belt and, you know, cut costs wherever you can to avoid laying people off. Again, if your business is fortunate enough to not need to push out long planned projects that aren't core to surviving through the next couple of quarters, and, you know, four, freezing hiring except for like absolute, you know, necessities that you need to hit your goals for the next couple of months. So I know in the opening days of like this crisis, we really had no idea what this was going to do to our sales. We had a Sunday where, you know, our sales appeared to be down about 40% from where they were the week before. Mm. And, you know, we had a really tough board call two, three Sunday nights ago where we were literally talking about the Armageddon situations and, you know, what would it look like if instead of doing the $60 million in GMV that we're planning to book this year, you know, we suddenly do 10 or we do 17. You know, what do those scenarios look like? How do we make sure we extend runway, you know, over 16 to 24 months, which is what most people are hoping to do, you know, because suddenly you're walking into a totally different funding environment where, you know, if you're a company looking with under 6 months of cash right now, you know, it's certainly going to be tough riding for you unless you're one of the few businesses that is going to see a huge increase from something like this, and not just in the short term, but like in the longer term too. So from my side, we've tried to be as conservative as we could. We froze hiring right away. We cut travel over a month ago at this point. We're a company that, T&E is an important part of our business. We cut all that. And even fortunately, our office in Chicago is getting purchased. So as of May 1st, we don't even have any real estate obligations in the city of Chicago, which, could end up being a godsend. If you're talking about a six figure bill every month that, you can't use for as long as this goes on. So, as of now, we're really excited about the early wins that we've had from this. But frankly, I believe that the weakness in our business and most consumer businesses will actually really start, in the next few weeks and going over the next couple quarters when I think people are really coming to grips with, being laid off or being furloughed. And we're not selling Clorox or Purell. So at the end of the day, we're a consumer discretionary good, just like many others. And, for right now, I think it's critically important to make sure that, we're delivering a product that makes people smile, laugh, and cry at a time where you can't hug people or you can't kiss them or you can't see them in real life. But, we're certainly concerned about the strength of the consumer as we, go into Q2 and Q3 this year.
Totally. One of the interesting kind of commonalities that I've heard from entrepreneurs and leaders that I've talked to is this kind of bizarre sense of timing from when this happened and the make or break between if this had happened 2 months ago to some companies, they would have been either exponentially better or worse positions, or a year ago or 6 months from now or whatever. So it sounds like you guys are in a very favorable position of having some dry powder, of having a sustained company, enough leadership to kind of, to call all of this, except a year ago, I assume that might not have been the case. So when do you think kind of your cutoff was, and how different would have been kind of managing through this 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago? And at what point do you think you might not have survived kind of a shakeup like this?
Frankly, I think any time over the last year, if it had happened, we would have probably been fine. We've been very fortunate to have raised a significant amount of money over the last 15 months. We closed a $12.5 million Series A in November of 18. And then about 4 months later, we closed this $50 million Series B. Both of those fundraisers came inbound, and we were, frankly, we had plenty of money on the balance sheet each time. So those were both like opportunistic. And this really brings me back to kind of last summer when I was debating on if we should do the Series B or not. We had just raised the Series A. And in fact, we hadn't even started getting into our Series A money when we had multiple term sheets for the Series B. And I remember having lunch with Jeremy Liu, partner at Lightspeed, at Shutters in Santa Monica. And I was asking him his opinion, and he goes, "Steven, sometimes when it's raining gold, you just need to turn the umbrella upside down." And I think that's some of the best advice that I could have got, given that. And I think a lot of founders, that might have been like way more dilution sensitive, including myself, they kind of realize right now, hey, it's one thing to get diluted a little bit more, but, it's a total other thing if you have a great business that just can't weather the storm. And I think you're going to see founders be a lot more conservative, not just with costs that they're, outlaying, but also, being more conservative about actually making sure their balance sheet is always 18 to 24 months worth of runway.
Right. On that note, how do you think this is going to affect Cameo in the future? Is this going to create any kind of long-term policy changes, management decisions, strategic changes, et cetera?
For one, right now we're actually considering like what would it look like if we just stayed distributed. I mean, our teams really join this. So for us, that'd be a huge change. As you've been to the office, and that's such a big part of our culture. But as we're kind of looking around, especially at some of these other companies that have, had pretty big layoffs in the Bay Area and other parts of the country, you know, we've been thinking about like, hey, if suddenly we weren't constrained to hiring talent in our home markets of Chicago and LA, like, you know, how many great people could we add? And if they were on equal footing as the people that have been in our home markets, you know, are we a better company for that? So, you know, that's one. Second, I found that our executive team is spending a lot more time together. So I implemented a daily stand-up, you know, 10 a.m. Central to 11 a.m., where my exec team meets every day. Typically, we were meeting about an hour and a half a week. And, you know, suddenly now we're meeting 6.5 hours a week. I think that makes a really big difference. And I think we're, you know, we're getting a lot more on the same page. We're really trying to take things day to day. And then third, I think that there's some massive tailwinds, especially on the supply side for us, where for the first time in human history, every single athlete, actor, entertainer, comedian, you know, pop culture personality, they're all unemployed at the same time. That's never happened before. And, you know, a lot of people that had said they'd loved Cameo, but couldn't do it because they were, you know, they were too busy. Like suddenly they're not, they're sitting on their couch and they want to engage with their fans. Right. You know, I really think this is, you know, however long this goes on, this is like the gold rush for us to get on people that, you know, we've always thought would be great on Cameo, but maybe, you know, weren't giving us that shot and now they are.
Man, that's super interesting that you guys are considering staying distributed. And I've heard that before. And this is one of those kind of weird X factors that we might see extremely different makeups of companies from startups to large corporations kind of in the future based off this. How are you seeing your celebrities responding? You have all sorts of people from internet kind of influencers up to, you know, global A-list celebrities to big athletes. How are they responding to all this on Cameo? Are they getting more active? Are they donating their time? Kind of what are some stories you can tell us from kind of that side of the business?
Yeah, number one, we're seeing a lot more do this for charity right now. You know, which I think is to be expected. That tends to happen anytime there's a, you know, global disaster, local disaster. The thing that's most interesting is we've actually seen them lower their price at scale. So over the past 3 weeks, over the past 2 weeks rather, the AOV, or average price per order, has actually dropped by 27%. And this is as talent are trying to, you know, give back to their fans and make themselves more accessible. So that's been a pretty unexpected, but, you know, pleasantly surprising benefit. So what we're seeing is that while our average order size has gone down, they've more than made up for that in volume. And, you know, frankly, we've had, you know, two of the best 5 weeks we've ever had in the business over the last, you know, in the last couple of weeks. And this week's trending to be better than all of this.
Yeah. And lastly, how are you holding up? I mean, obviously, as a high performer, as a CEO, as somebody who's had an incredible run the last 3 years, this has got to be a bizarre change for you to go from, you know, important meetings and celebrity interviews and all those kind of things to sitting on your couch in Palm Beach trying to manage a global company. So how are you holding up? Are you feeling some stress? Are you doing all right?
You know, honestly, my days aren't different. As crazy as that sounds, like I'm having the same meetings and having the same conversations. The two things that I've really enjoyed, number one, I hadn't cooked for myself in probably 2.5 years. Like when I say that, I'm talking literally not one time. And I was a pretty good cook before this started, and I've really rediscovered my love for that. You know, I had a food blog back in the day called Off the Bone on Instagram, and, you know, I'd post all the meals that I'd cook, and yeah, that's been a lot more active. It's been fun. I've been cooking up a storm for one, because yeah, my girlfriend Emily doesn't eat meat, so it's really just me. But it's good to see that the grill skills are still there. Secondly, you know, I was basically living on airplanes. I took over 150 flights last year. You know, at one point I think I was averaging a flight every 1.3 days, which was just insane. And
yeah, I know the feeling.
I do think that. Certainly after this, you know, it's really going to force me to, I think I'll travel way less after, you know, after going through this. And I do think, you know, when you're traveling so much, it really gets you out of your routine for working out, for eating right. I was taking the red eye almost weekly back from LA, you know, which really fucks with your system. And at the end of the day, I think for me, I'm going to you know, the standard I'm going to use to whether I get on an airplane or not is going to be a lot higher in the future, I think, than it probably has been. You know, for the last few years, it's like, if there's anywhere in the world I can be that day to move my business forward, I'm going to go there. And I'm not saying that that's over, but I think like this has certainly given some perspective on, you know, on what's important and what, you know, what can potentially wait or what could maybe somebody else from my team cover.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I've heard that a lot from folks from across the board, personally, professionally, that there's a lot of perspective being built right now. And that's an amazing thing for anybody in any situation. And obviously, one of the commonalities that comes out of tragedy is a lot of kind of new thinking. So last is CameoCon. I know you guys are putting on something to kind of take advantage of this new virtual world that we live in. Can you give us a quick snippet on that?
We're going to be doing the world's first all digital fan convention, where we're going to be working with our talent to put on a series of keynotes and performances, comedy stand-up shows, panels, Q&A. It's going to be a lot of fun, April 16th through 18th. And while that is going on, we have not announced this, so you're the first one to hear about this, but we're going to be announcing something called Cameo Cares, where 100% of all bookings on the platform for those 3 days of CameoCon are going to go to COVID-related charities. So we're in a mad dash right now to get this thing organized. But we think that this could be, you know, a huge, you know, moment for Cameo to do some, you know, to do some really good in the world. And, you know, we're excited to do our part to, you know, to help fight this thing.
Well, that is awesome to hear. I'm really glad that you guys are stepping up to do that. Sounds like an amazing event. I will be there tuning in. So I'll let you get back to work. Really do appreciate the time today, Stephen. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Great. Thank you.
A big thanks to my friend, Stephen Galanis, for being on the show today. He's an inspirational entrepreneur who's not only finding ways to lead through the crisis, but also to help those in need along the way. If you're enjoying the show, please subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. 100% of the profits from this limited series will be donated to charities that are helping people through the coronavirus pandemic. If you're currently leading from home, or you're an entrepreneur that wants to talk through something or get some advice, I want to hear from you. Head over to roa.com/podcast. That's roa.com/podcast for ways to connect with me, or hit me on social media at John Roa. That's J-O-H-N-R-O-A. The John Roa Show is a production of iHeartRadio and Roa Media Works. For more podcasts from us, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any place you get your favorite shows. I want to give a special thanks to my producers, Jordan Gaspore, here at the show, and Tyler Klang over at iHeartRadio. We'll be back with you on Friday morning with a very special conversation with a good friend of mine who's leading an NFL team from home. In the meantime, be safe out there.